I began today talking about the decision of 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick to not stand for the national anthem at football games. It's caused a lot of debate, to say the least. One part of the argument, something even Kaepernick may not have known about, is a debate over the anthem's little-known third stanza and whether it's actually racist. Take a listen to it.
No refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight, nor the gloom of the grave.
No refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave. The meaning of that verse might be a little confusing, but writer and academic Jason Johnson knows the story. Johnson teaches at Morgan State University in Baltimore. And Jason, you're in Baltimore, ground zero for Francis Scott Key, who wrote his famous poem after witnessing the failed British assault on Fort McHenry. That was 1814. What is this third verse about?
Essentially, Francis Scott Key was happy to see former slaves who had joined the British as part of the Colonial Marines, getting slaughtered and killed as they attempted to take Baltimore. And the entire song sort of leads up to this point where he's essentially saying, these terrible, ungrateful black people, this is the consequence of standing up against the United States of America. So it's clearly racist, it's clearly pro-slavery, but it's pretty much in line with the kind of man that Francis Scott Key was.
So I gather Francis Scott Key never really told anybody what he meant, and some historians interpret his mention of hirelings and slaves to reference all of the invading British forces. Similar rhetoric had been used. Are we sure this historical analysis isn't some kind of projection on a past that we know a lot better about now?
Well, that's the best thing about history, which is usually, if you can find enough evidence and documentation, it doesn't change that much. What we know about Francis Scott Key is, while, yes, he occasionally protected freedmen as a lawyer, he was also known to have helped incite a race riot. He was strongly in favor of slavery. He was in favor of freedmen being sent back to Africa because he feared what they might do if they were allowed to stay in the United States and become rabble-rousers. And also, historians believe, certainly around the Baltimore area, that when Francis Scott Key was a lieutenant, he battled a group of black colonial marines in the Battle of Bladensburg, and he was beaten badly.
Wow.
In fact, his troops were slaughtered so aggressively that he had to run home and hide in Washington, D.C. So this was personal for him in addition to racial.
So I don't really know much about the colonial marines. These were black troops in British pay. Tell us more about them.
Well, basically what happened is that the British said, look, to former slaves, to freedmen, and to current slaves, if you escape and you take up arms against the nation that enslaved you, we will give you your freedom. So it was an amazing opportunity for a lot of African Americans to fight for their freedom.
So another thing I did not know, that the national anthem became official law, the official national anthem, only in 1931. And the law states, I looked this up, all other persons present should face the flag and stand at attention with their right hand over the heart. So Colin Kaepernick, could he get arrested for this?
You know, to get into the technicalities as to whether or not Colin Kaepernick broke the law, maybe he did. It's not a law that's going to be enforced. And more importantly, his constitutional right to freedom of expression would trump any potential violation of how he deals with the flag. So he's on solid ground legally, at least under most administrations we've known in the United States.
Jason Johnson, associate professor at Morgan State in Baltimore. He's got a great article on this whole issue on The Root. Jason, thanks for your time.
Thanks. Anytime.